When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Good morning. Welcome to a special episode of the Cone Zone. That's the great Lowell Cone. I'm the not so great Grant Cone. The theme of, we're going to talk about Klay Thompson. We're going to talk about Willie Mays. There's some things that have happened, big things in the Bay Area that we haven't been able to talk about because my dad wasn't here last week. If you noticed, we didn't do a show. He was on assignment and it just turns out that he was on a road trip. So the theme of today's show is road trips. People we'd want to be on road trips with, people we wouldn't want to be on road trips first. But first, we need to talk about the nature of a road trip and where you were.
Well, on assignment, I actually went up to drove to Ashland, Oregon. I met some friends up there. They have the Shakespeare Festival, and it was great. Last year, it went down the tubes. They were woke. They tried to make Shakespeare woke. And Iggy, good luck with that. But this time was back to being a normal Shakespeare festival. Although I saw five plays, three were non-Shakespeare, but I saw Macbeth. And Iggy, I think you'd agree that of the four major tragedies, Macbeth is the most watchable. It's the shortest, and it has the most punch. Number two would be Othello. The other two, I'm not going to name them because you're supposed to know what they are. I would say you don't. They're hard. And if you don't know what they are, look them up. Anyway, yeah. I had a wonderful time. I saw Macbeth and Much Ado About Nothing, which was just great. What were you going to say?
Well, the thing about Shakespeare, Dad, he's great. He's really good. He could write.
He's an up and comer.
Yeah, I don't care what anyone says about Shakespeare. I think he's really good.
Anyway, I drove back yesterday. And it was a long drive. I was talking to myself, listening to the radio. You can't get much radio up in when you come out of Oregon. But I'm back now, and I'm really eager to do the show.
Well, as you were driving down, passing Red Bluff and Redding and all those red places that are so hot.
Red.
You were thinking it'd be nice to have a road trip companion right around now, so I wouldn't be talking to myself. And what would some of the ideal characteristics, if we were drafting, you know, first pick in a road trip draft, what are some of the qualities and traits you're looking for?
Okay, let's go back and forth. I would want someone who made interesting conversation and was a good listener.
Someone who has a sense of humor.
Absolutely. Someone who has good taste in music, even if it's not my taste. Someone who could really have fun with the music.
Someone who has opinions.
Love it. Someone who doesn't always talk about his or herself.
Someone who doesn't always talk about football.
Right, because we're talking about 49ers here.
Yeah. Some football is fine.
Right, but not all. And if we're football, off-the-record stuff that you don't really know. What's going on in the locker room? You know, you can't tell anybody this, but. Another one. When you stop for lunch at Denny's, someone who you could share the California Club sandwich with.
Jeez, that really narrows your list right there. I don't know about that. Some of these football players might have three or four entrees that they're working with.
Got it. They're not shrimps like me. I got it. No, I got it. I got it.
No, I'm not trying to watch their weight.
I got that. I take that back.
Okay, so those are a lot of qualities. So let's talk. You've been thinking about this clearly. Who would you like to go on a road trip with from this current 49ers team?
Okay,
who would make the cut?
Right, with one proviso. I've never met any of these people, but just from what I've gleaned, I would start. My number one would be Trent Williams. Now, we'd have to get a big car, maybe a van. You know what I'm saying?
Certainly.
But I think he would meet all the qualities. He has a great laugh. He's a grown-up. He has wisdom. Mm-hmm. He can make fun of himself. He has a lovely smile. He's very intelligent. I mean, come on. He's an offensive lineman. They're the most, Iggy, you know this, they are the most normal people on a football squad. You would agree, right?
The oldest player on the team. He's the best player on the team. He's the only person really in the organization that's a, like, no doubt about it, future Hall of Famer. He would have his own perspective on everything. Kyle Shanahan, the way they lost the Super Bowl, and he might share it in that road trip setting.
Iggy, are you there? Because you froze a minute.
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
You're there. Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, and all your words came through.
Oh.
You just froze a little bit there. Okay, so he's our number one. Now, Iggy, have you in fact ever talked to him?
Not like one-on-one, but he always does group interviews, and he's always very patient and gives good answers. I mean, he seems very friendly.
Very friendly. Just like what you would consider an offensive lineman to be.
I would say so. Yeah, Trent Williams would be a good one. He wouldn't talk too much. You know, some people would talk too much. He wouldn't be one of those people. He'd talk just the right amount.
Yeah. There are some people when you talk, you say, you know, my right foot hurts me today. And then they would say, I have a trouble with my right foot all the time. And they always make the conversation about themselves.
Yeah.
I don't think Trent Williams would. I don't like people like that.
And he's from Texas and he's a slow talker. I like that too. Slow talker.
Slow talking.
Yeah.
Let me hear. How does he talk slow? What do you mean?
I mean, if you really know ball, I mean, you'd have to say that Brock Purdy is the perfect quarterback for us. I mean, everything's kind of a draw. I love it.
I love it. Yeah. Because I'm a New Yorker. I'm a quick talker. You know what I mean? I talk to people. Yeah.
You got to get it in before the subway comes. I understand. But they got all day.
Okay. So, Trent, hats off to you. And who would be, Iggy, a number two?
Let's say, so we have like a big van and we can get like maybe four or five people in the van with us.
No. It only has to be, I insist on one-on-one.
One-on-one? Okay. All right. But there's going to be some contenders. Number two.
There are going to be some contenders.
All right. I would go with Talanoa Hufanga because to me, he's like the most normal person on the team. It would be like going on a road trip with a normal down-to-earth person. He's like the new Jimmy Ward. I like defensive backs because they have this very like gentle, normal side, but you know they're nuts. They're like two people. There's the presentable side and then the violent, I'm the smallest guy on the defense, but I don't care side. They're very interesting.
Ronnie Lott was like that.
Yeah. Dante Whitner is like that. Very well-spoken, and he calls himself Hittner.
I don't know Hufanga. I've never actually even heard him talk, so I don't have an opinion. Can you talk a little bit more about him? Do you know him? Have you spoken to him?
Yeah, he's like the nicest. He's the one guy in the locker room who like lights up when he sees me, and he'll say hello and he'll give me a high five. He interviewed me at the Super Bowl at the media day. He was doing like he was hurt and he was interviewed the Blue Man Group, and he's like, "Hey Grant, come here. I got some questions for you." So he's a cool guy. He's actually normal. We were talking about being normal and asking questions about other people. He would fulfill that criteria. Smart guy too. Went to USC, which is USC, you know, it couldn't hurt.
No, it couldn't hurt. USC used to be a joke, but actually, it's much improved and it's a high quality institution. Mm. How they handle their athletes, I have no idea. But Iggy, when we did a road trip, and you looked at colleges, we went to USC that day.
That was the first one we went to, and it was very impressive. Yeah.
Very impressive.
That was 20 years ago. Almost exactly.
It was almost 20 years ago?
It was exactly 20 years ago. It was the summer of 2004. We went USC. Then we went, the next day we went to
Claremont.
What was the Claremont school? Claremont?
Yeah, Claremont.
Yeah. And then we went to Irvine. Oh. And then we went to UCLA. And then we went on the next day, we went to Santa Barbara and Cal Poly. That was the trip.
We did.
It's a good trip. On our least favorite place by far?
Yeah.
Claremont.
I would agree. And remember the young lady who led the tour? She had just woke up. It was like 11 in the morning. Yeah. She had just woke up. She clearly hadn't brushed her teeth or combed her hair. She so didn't want to do it.
No. And it was it's a college, not a university. So there were no students like on the campus during the summer. So it just seemed like a dead area and you couldn't get a feel for life there. As opposed to UCLA, we were walking. We couldn't get an actual tour. So we had to like follow one. It was fun.
We felt left out.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I wanted to go there, because they wouldn't let me be in a tour. Anyway, okay, road trips.
I'll tell you someone else that I, again, this is a leap of faith. I don't know any of them. I could have fun with Kittle.
Yeah.
I think Kittle basically is a good guy. Mm-hmm. Now, he does have a big ego, and he likes to be the center of attention. But I think in a road trip, he might actually be much more normal than you would expect.
And yeah, like you could play games with Kittle.
You could play games.
What was the game we used to play when it was me, you, mom, and Brian would be going something like Botticelli? Was that what we called it?
Botticelli, yeah.
Botticelli? We have to think of a person, a famous person.
Yeah, and you had X number of guesses. Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it alive?
Yes, yes or no questions. And you go around.
No questions. Yeah. You could play Botticelli with him, right?
You could definitely play Botticelli with George Kittle.
Yeah. I think he'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I do think, off the record, he would be a riot about what's going on in that locker room.
Yeah. So you went for two of the older players on the team, which is smart. Talanoa, the one thing about him, he may not feel like he could go off the record. He's still like 23 years old. He might feel like he doesn't have the clout. He's got something
to do. Yeah.
But another guy who would have something to say, has the clout, Charvarius Ward, and he's extremely funny.
See, I don't know him. Tell us about him.
Charvarius Ward is an outsider. He wasn't drafted by the 49ers. He beat the Niners in the Super Bowl when he was with the Chiefs. Then they gave him a bunch of money. So he kind of walks around the organization like, hey, I'm a champion. You wanted me here. I'm really good. I mean, he's a lot of fun. He seems like he's his own guy. And in the last interview he did, I didn't ask him any questions because I just like listening to him talk. And he walked off the stage. And as he was walking off, he said, hey, Grant, how come you never ask me any questions? So I think we could have fun with him.
I love guys like that. Yeah. I do. I love guys like that.
Yeah.
Are there any more, or should we talk about people you wouldn't want to make a road trip with?
Well, let's give some honorable mentions. Aaron Banks grew up in Alameda. He'd be kind of interesting. He's an offensive lineman. He's down to earth. He doesn't have the experience and wisdom of Trent Williams, but he'd be interesting.
I love offensive linemen, and I love tight ends. I do.
What about the Harvard kid? You could talk about smart things.
I have a feeling, Ushik, I have a feeling he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And I think he'd be a lot of fun, and you could play Botticelli with him. And he could probably beat you.
He's a Botticelli player. Okay, last one. What about the punter? He's from Australia.
I have no opinion. You have Fair to enough. Tell me.
Fair enough. You know, you just be making that pick based on the accent, which isn't a fair reason to make a pick. Okay, let's talk about players we would not want to go on a road trip with.
Okay, I want to start with the coach.
Oh.
Now, look, I don't know what Kyle is like in his private life. But he's, you know, like in interviews, he's kind of dead. It recalls someone else to mind that I don't want to talk about who looked dead on a debate stage a few days ago. But now maybe off the record or in a car, and if you had if you went out to a bar, Kyle would be a lot of fun. I don't know, but he's not my first choice for someone I'd want to sit in the car with for, say, 8 or 9 hours. What about
you? The question with Kyle on that one would be, like, what would you talk about?
Good point.
What would you talk about?
Good point.
Yeah.
Could you talk about Shakespeare's other two great tragedies?
I don't think you could talk about Billy Shakespeare. That's out the window.
Billy?
No Billy Shakespeare. I don't know if you could get too far past football with Kyle. I don't know. See, that's the thing. That's why I always thought Harbaugh was so cool. Like, yeah, he's nuts. We all are in a way, but he could actually talk about all kind of stuff. He watched PBS and Masterpiece Theater. He watched Foyle's War. I mean, he knew history. You could talk to him about the Civil War or World War One. I don't think you could really do that with Kyle.
You know, I have a feeling you're correct. And I'm going to say something else about Harbaugh. He's extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
Would you agree, Iggy?
Extremely.
He graduated from Michigan.
Social cues, a little bit more of an adventure for him, but actually, like, knowledge.
He's got that knowledge.
He's got the knowledge.
He's got the knowledge.
Now, Kyle did graduate. Did he graduate? I think he graduated from Texas, which is an excellent school. I got a cousin. One that went to Texas. His brother went to Michigan. So it's good schools. But I don't know about Kyle.
Iggy, do you know what Kyle majored in?
I can look it up.
You can't? I'd be curious. Communications?
Oof. That would be, yeah. I'll have to look that one up. Let's talk about other people we wouldn't want to go.
Well,
on
you go. I said Kyle.
All right. Brandon Ayuk.
Oy.
At least this year. Because I feel like the whole conversation would be about his contract thing. Man, who wants to sit in a car for 5 hours with someone complaining about only being offered $26 million? And that sucks, Brandon. That really sucks, man. You got money problems, man. I feel you, dude. You're the one person in this car with the biggest money problems. Let's talk about it. You know what I mean?
And
you're
also
worth 30, man. I think you're worth 30.
You think that would dominate, that topic would dominate the conversation?
Yeah, if we talked about anything. Brandon seems like the kind of guy who'd look at his phone most of the trip.
Oh, he'd be on his phone.
I think so.
There are those people. Have you ever gone out to dinner and you see a couple sitting across from you and they're both on the phone? They're not.
Those are the relationship that lasts. Those ones. Yeah.
Iggy, I got another I wouldn't want to take a road trip with all due respect, Brock Purdy.
Why?
Because he's not interesting.
Oof.
Here's another thing. He's fully formed as a football player. I'm not sure that he's fully formed as an adult yet.
Yeah.
And what would you talk to him about?
Yeah, he's really young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be 24. Like going with your grandson. For me, it'd be like going with my grandson. Although my grandson, Sam,
you'd have 14, much more fun with Sam.
Is really interesting.
Yeah.
So,
and he's 14.
And he's 14. I'd rather go with Sam than Brock Purdy. I think Sam is more sophisticated.
Yeah, with Brock, I mean, you could talk about agriculture.
Yeah.
You could talk about Christianity. You could talk about the West Coast offense or Kyle Shanahan's offense. Other than that, he doesn't really have really the experience.
I would be very interested in talking about Christianity. I want to say, when I was an undergraduate, I attended Lafayette College in Pennsylvania, and it's a Presbyterian school. And, you know, I had come from this entirely Jewish background. And every year at Lafayette, we were required to take a class in religion. And it was, Iggy, it was so interesting. I had never heard of the Holy Trinity before. They have these philosophers called Christian existentialists who don't necessarily believe that you can prove God, but make a leap of faith for God, like Kierkegaard. And I found studying Christianity so interesting, but I bet my suspicion is it wouldn't be at that level with Brock Purdy.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else would we not want to have in the car with us?
Oh, I have
Christian McCaffrey.
That's who I was going to say.
Yeah.
Do you want me to say, or do you want to say why not?
We could both. You go first.
I think he's probably a very nice guy.
Yeah.
Nothing I've ever heard him say at Stanford or with the Niners strikes me as interesting.
Yeah.
Ever. He strikes
not
me
one time.
As, no, not one time. He strikes me as a very serious person who has a very narrow range of interests.
Yes. Yes. So he could be pleasant. In fact, I'm sure he would be pleasant. But the conversation would be, I don't know if it would go anywhere.
Right.
Talk about golf. Talk about golf.
If the conversation were to go in interesting places, because obviously he has the intellect, if it were to go in interesting places, I'd be thrilled. I would. I'd be thrilled.
What about Bosa?
You would have a better feel than I would.
I feel like he wouldn't want to be in the car. Maybe none of these players would want to be in the car. I feel like he'd be quiet and he'd be uninterested. But if you got him talking, he might say interesting things. That's the thing about Bosa. If you get him talking and he's in the mood to talk, he sends very interesting things. So that could be an interesting conversation. That could be he's a wild card.
I love it. When you would say he might not be interested to be in the car, why?
Sometimes he doesn't even seem interested to be like in the locker room. Like, he's so rich. I think he has this a little bit of an attitude like, this is all so beneath me. Like, do I have to do any of this? Kind of. You know?
I see.
But it's part of my duty as the highest paid player on the team, so I'll do it with a smile, but I'd really like to be anywhere else. He kind of gives that attitude sometimes.
I'll tell you who else might be fun. Deebo Samuel.
I would agree.
He could be a lot of fun.
I think so too. Yeah. He's almost 30 years old. He's smart. He has opinions. He seems funny. I think Deebo would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, he has all, he's outgoing as opposed to Brandon, who's kind of inward, salty.
Brandon is going through growing up.
Yeah.
He's in the process of growing up.
Right.
He's not really grown up. The way he's comporting himself is not really grown up, and it's turning off a lot of people. But he may come out on the other side okay.
Yeah, what I've realized with football players a lot of times is you can't necessarily expect them to be fully formed grown up at 26.
Of course not, because all they've been doing is football.
Exactly. So maybe 30? Sometimes not even until you're retired.
Right.
But you see a guy like Deebo, like when he was 26, he seemed a little immature. Now he's almost 30. So I think circling back to what's important qualities in a road trip partner, unless you're Sam, my 14-year-old nephew, being a grown-up helps, because Brock Purdy got rejected on the grounds of not fully being a grown-up yet.
Yeah, absolutely. That was my main – I think he's a very nice person, but I don't know that I'd enjoy spending any time with him.
Okay, one more. Fred Warner.
Okay. Again, you would know better than I would. My feeling about Fred Warner is he's highly intelligent.
Yes.
Highly intelligent. Mm-hmm. And absolutely decent. Absolutely a decent, the kind of person you would want to marry your daughter.
No question.
Absolutely decent.
Like, all the things I like about Talanoa Hufanga, Fred Warner has a lot of those qualities.
Yes. Would he be interesting? I'm going to say something. I'm not sure. He seems to me like a person who goes along with the program. Mm-hmm. It would never occur to him to say, I'm going to be different. Mm-hmm. This is not for me. I'm going to be different. Bosa is always thinking, how can I be different? Kittle, I think Fred Warner is a company man, and I might find that a little uninteresting. Iggy, am I being unfair to him?
That's how that's how he comes across to me. I like everything about him, but he's just boring because he is a company man, and you know what he's going to say if you just listen to the coaches that week. He's going to say exactly what the coaches said before the game, after the game. It's like, man, great, but you're not a coach. And you're an individual, and it'd be so wonderful if we could get to know that guy one time. But I don't know. I mean, he's like one of these guys from San Diego, and San Diego's like a very military place. And he just kind of seems like the guy who's serious about being in his platoon and being the captain. And I respect that, but I don't really want to go on a road trip with him.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to name two other people who are not 49ers anymore who I'd like to take a road trip with. Steve Wilks.
Yeah. Oh my God. We would have a lot to talk about.
And I think he, no matter what the Bosa or the rest, he struck me as a real man, a guy with tremendous dignity and smarts. So he's one, but the other even more, Robert Saleh.
Yeah. You never got to really cover him. Yeah. And what's interesting about Saleh is he's such an interesting person. You'd be interested in him. He'd be equally or more interested in you.
Yeah.
And that's rare.
The only two 49ers who ever really expressed an interest in me were Ronnie Lott and Steve Young. And they were interested. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Yeah. What are you reading? And you remember it, and it means a lot to you.
Jimmy Ward would be fun in on a road trip.
Oh, God.
And, boy, would he have a lot to say.
He would dominate the conversation, and you'd welcome it.
So what do you really think of Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy? Boom. That'd be fun.
You just have to give him a name, right? And you'd get a dramatic monologue.
Okay, I got one more. And this, a few years ago, I would have said absolutely not. He's no longer a Niner, but things have changed. Jimmy Garoppolo.
I would take a chance on Jimmy Garoppolo.
That might be interesting.
First of all, he seems like a very nice person.
That's true.
He has a lovely laugh and a lovely smile.
Yeah.
And boy, would he have things to say.
Trey Lance.
You would. Oh, I would say absolutely. I think Trey.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lance, Iggy, the one thing that you've told us here, what he said to you when he walked by you that time, revealed that there's a whole person in there that was really aware of how he was getting screwed and yet did it heroically. Remind people what he said to you.
I forget the exact phrasing of what he said. Thanks for how you covered me. I forget exactly what he said. My memory's no good.
Didn't he say thanks for sticking up for me?
But he may have said that.
Yeah.
He may have
said
that.
Where were you standing?
In the locker room. He was walking out. And he like walked past me. It was almost like in prison where you don't move your lips and you're not trying to not let anyone, not that I've been to prison, but I've seen Oz. You're not trying to let anyone see what you're saying because I'm the enemy. And he was on the way out. Literally and figuratively.
And he was on the way out within a few days.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, we got more people. Suggestions in the comment section. What about you were close with Bill Walsh? Could you have done a road trip with Bill Walsh?
Absolutely. Yeah. And in a way we have.
Yeah.
Bill and I, you know, we would drive to the city together. We would be in the car together. And you know, it was very interesting. He didn't dominate the conversation. We talked like two friends. Bill was so bright, and he had a wonderful sense of humor, sort of like Johnny Carson. He would come back at you with a stare. His timing was impeccable. So, yeah, Bill Walsh may be top of the list.
What about George Seifert?
No.
No.
Okay, here's the deal. George Seifert is what I said about Fred Warner, we'd say about George, the most decent person. Someone who'd be loyal, very intelligent, absolutely lacking in a sense of humor. There wouldn't be a grin in the car. Mm. It would be, for me, with my temperament, a little grim. He's the kind of guy, when he wasn't involved in it was the off season, you know, he would go camping and fishing, and he would do things with friends who weren't in football. You would have to be sort of an outdoors person to be with George, and clearly I'm not.
Okay, one more, and then we're going to get to the Clay Thompson stuff and the Willie Mays stuff. And this guy would be an all-time great on a road trip, no longer on the team. Joe Staley.
Oh, I love that you say that. Yes.
Yeah. He would be a lot of fun. He would have opinions. He'd be making you laugh. And he'd have stories, incredible stories.
That he could tell very well.
Yeah, that's another thing we didn't mention. You got to have stories. It's a lot of time, man.
Right. Anyway. Hey, Grant, you got to hear this one.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. That's our road trip. What?
I got a question.
Sure.
Staley used to be on the post-game show. Why is he not on the post-game show anymore?
I don't know. Because NBC really Sports Bay Area doesn't know what's good.
I mean, he was really good, right?
He was really good. He was an asset for them. Maybe he didn't want to do it.
Maybe not.
All right. Look, let's do some picks.
Picks.
Because the Giants are playing this afternoon, and we need some action. So let's see who's on the bump for the good guys. Hold on. I got to do the thing. And then we're going to talk some baseball later, too. Okay. Birdsong, is he pitching? Who's his Birdsong, Dad?
Is he? I don't know who the hell Birdsong is.
Let's see his Hayden Birdsong. They called him up from the minors. You didn't hear about this guy? His name is Hayden Birdsong. It's good. He gave up 5 earned runs in his first his debut, but it was a good 5.
It was a solid 5.
It was a solid 5. So this time, what do you think? Earned runs. 2.5. No, he gave up 3 last time. I'm sorry. More?
2.5?
2.5.
I'm going to say more.
Yeah, because Atlanta, man, they're good. That's the thing about Atlanta. Soler, he's hot.
He's hot?
Is he? I don't know. His name is... He's not so hot. No, I wouldn't say that. Well, he's in a hitting streak. Look at that. 2 hits in the last game, 2 before that. Will he get a hit today? Jorge.
Yes.
Soler.
Yes.
Of course. No brainer.
Iggy. Iggy. What makes the Hottentot so hot?
Courage.
Okay.
You were just checking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ramos.
Oh, he's a good player.
He can hit, man. He had 3 hits in the last game.
And he can field.
This is easy. Huh?
He's a good player.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm saying 24 years old, he's got a future, too.
He's got upside. What are we betting on him? What are we betting on him?
Whether he's going to get a hit today?
Oh, he's getting a hit.
Oh, he's getting a hit. Okay, who's not getting a hit today? You know what? Chapman.
Not getting a hit.
Not getting a hit. I don't like him. Okay, this is what I'm putting down. Those are the picks. If you want to do the picks, there's a promo code COHN. There's a QR code if you're watching. And if you put a deposit, your first deposit, you put it, they match it up to $100. And if it's your first deposit, DM me proof that it's your first deposit. You use the promo code, I'll send you $10 myself. How about that? Just because I'm a swell guy. Okay.
Really?
Klay Thompson. He's gone. I cried. He lived around here. He used to show up in Montclair, go to the egg shop. He was a man of the town. Now he's gone. And the dynasty is over. It's a sad time. What do you think?
Okay. If you're a fan, and you and I are not fans, it's sad because the Warriors had this in great core, a core of 3 great players. And a lot of people grew up with them. And they'll remember that trio for their whole lives.
Yeah.
So for fans, it's very sad. I don't get involved like that. To me, it's the business of basketball. They offered him 2 years, and the other guys offered him 3 years.
Yeah.
It's just business. He made a business decision. I don't think he did anything wrong, nor do I think the Warriors did anything wrong. It's sad for fans, but it's just the business of basketball. I would tell you what I find strange or unfortunate for the Warriors is they extended Draymond Green. They have him for, I think, another 3 years. He's the one who was the least valuable of those 3. Curry is still phenomenal. I think Klay Thompson is still really a good player. I don't think Draymond Green is. Plus, he's a pain in the neck. Now, I think off the court, he's probably, for the most part, a good guy, except when he punches a teammate. But on the court, he's a whiner, a complainer, and he's always ruining the attention of his teammates because they have to get him away from the refs or other players so he doesn't get thrown out. So I would say, in terms of business, it's unfortunate that Klay went and Draymond didn't go, but But as far as Clay going, it's business and it's not a tragedy to me.
No, not a tragedy at all. I was just joking about the feelings about it. I think what's interesting is that you could praise the Warriors for moving on from this whatever core, but and that's fine. I mean, Bill Walsh used to say you move on a year early than a year, rather than a year late, but to move on, you have to have, like, Bill had Steve. Bill had guys. This team, this group, Joe Lacob and his guys, they got nothing. They got worse when Clay left, and they're not going to make the playoffs next year. And I don't feel comfortable like praising them this offseason when you lost Clay for nothing. You traded, you gave Jordan Poole a ridiculous contract. Then you traded him the next year to get rid of it. You brought in Chris Paul, then you cut him. This team sucks.
Yeah, it does. This team is not going to make the playoffs. And I'm going to tell you, Steve Kerr is a great coach. He's won a lot of championships. He was aided by some great players. He's not going to look so great in the next few years. Mm-mm. He isn't. I don't think it'll tarnish his reputation. He's the Hall of Fame coach, but he's not going to be anything special in the next few years. And now he's off with the Olympic team, and he's got this team back here that's floundering.
He wasn't anything special the last 2 years.
No.
And I think it's interesting. Joe Lacob has such a big ego and opinion of himself, and he moved the team over to San Francisco because Oakland wasn't quite glamorous enough for him. Like, let's see what you got now. You inherited Stephen Curry. You brought in Jerry West. He put together a good team for you. Now all that's going to be gone pretty soon. And what are you going to build? Or is it just going to be the Chase Center half empty with a terrible team?
Yeah. Now, I do have a Klay Thompson story, which I've told before, but it's worth it. It sort of closes the circle. When he was drafted by the Warriors, that was the time I used to go once a week on NBC Sports Bay Area. They had a show where they had the columnists on, and I would be on once a week. And it so happens that I was on one day, and that was when the Warriors had drafted Klay Thompson. And since that's their TV station, he was going to be interviewed on the set to introduce him to the Bay Area. He was hadn't yet played a game for them. And his parents came with him, Michael Thompson, who played for the LA, and is the announcer for the Lakers, and his mother. And I forget the mom's name, but what happened was I was in the green room waiting for my turn, and I was going to go on another segment after Clay. The dad, Michael, was never in the green room. He's one of these ebullient, outgoing people, and he was just in the newsroom talking to everybody. I didn't do that because I like to sort of get myself together before going on camera. And so I was alone in the room with Clay's mother, and I was sitting next to her on a couch. She was very nice, and she was really tense. And I said, why are you so tense? She said, Clay is shy. He's not been on television a lot. I'm really nervous for him. And I actually took her hand and I said, Mom, he's going to do okay. Let's watch him together. And Iggy, he did okay. He really did. And the mom was so pleased. The father, maybe he watched it in the newsroom. He never came in the groom room with us. I was with the mom. And my guess is, I never spoke to Clay about it, his father has a very big personality, and I wonder if Clay thought Michael's personality pushed his personality to the side.
Yeah.
Anyway, a few days later, they had, you know, all the players for the pre-season media event, and I went over to Clay and introduced myself, and he said, my mom told me you were very nice to her. Thank you very much. And I thought, this is a nice kid.
Yeah.
And I think he's still a nice young man.
I agree. He seems more grounded than Steph or Draymond. He seems more down to earth. When the team moved to the peninsula, he didn't. He stayed in the East Bay. He had a boat that he would ride around the bay. He seemed like he really loved being here. So I'd love to know the story. I'd love to have him on a road trip and say, how did you end up in Dallas? How did this break down and you end up in Dallas? Because it seemed like It was personal. The Warriors offer was almost as good. 2 years, 48, 3 years, 50, almost as good, if not maybe better. And he wanted to leave. So I'd love to know why.
Well, one thing is with him, Dallas is can compete for a championship. He knows they can't compete in Golden State. They can't compete. He knows that. And I'll tell you something else, Iggy. He's the kind of player, he'll end his career in Dallas, but he'll be a Warrior. You know, there are certain 49ers who come back. He's going to be a Warrior. This will be like Chris Mullin ended up in Indiana. He's a Warrior, and it'll happen with Clay the same way.
Well, let's finish it this way. I mean, you just said casually, like he went to the Dallas Mavericks because he knows they can contend and the Warriors can't. Well, that means that Stephen Curry, who's my age, 36, most likely, almost certainly, will not win another championship, at least with the Warriors. What do you think of that?
I don't feel sorry for him. He's won a lot of championships. I think that's how it goes. I think one of the things about sports, it's about the cycle of life, condensed. You're born, you're middle aged, you're old, you die. And that's what happens to these players before our eyes. I don't mean they die. They die the little death. They no longer win. They no longer, eventually it'll happen to Stefan. He won't be the best anymore. He won't compete anymore. So what I look at it is a lesson. It's the condensed cycle of life. And I think people should be very happy for everything he accomplished and should feel the sadness when he no longer matters, because it happens to all of us.
I think there should be more criticism aimed at Joe Lacob right now. You have one of the greatest players of all time. His career's winding down, but he's still a top 10 player in the league, and you got nothing around him? Nothing? Kuminga? Wiggins? I mean, yeah, you won 4 championships. Congratulations. That was great. Like, what is this? And it's, what is the future? I think it's fair to say that they're really blowing it right now.
Okay. You want to make a comparison?
Yeah.
They're blowing it like the 49ers blew it. Now, they've come back to be contenders recently, but they went through a period where they were a joke, Iggy. Mm-hmm. The Niners were a joke. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be a parallel to the Niners for a while.
Ooh, I could see that. Once,
yeah.
Yeah, once this current group goes, kind of like the Harbaugh group goes, there could be some lean years. And it's like, maybe they'll get some lottery picks and luck into another generational player. But the last time they got the number 2 pick, they took James Wiseman.
Iggy, I think the lean years are about to start right now.
Right. Yeah, now. It's going to get worse once Curry's... I mean, with Curry, they're not quite good enough to make the playoffs. Without Curry, worst team in the league.
Right. And you know what? They're in danger of overusing Curry.
Yep. If he gets hurt and misses... he often misses time. He's getting older. When that happens, this team's going to lose and lose and lose and lose. And there's nothing Steve Kerr can do about it.
No.
Roger Morales says, love the show, Grant and Papa Cone. Always keeping it real.
Thank you.
Kev F. says, the 2010s were great for Bay Area sports championships. Will we see another championship in the Bay for the remainder of the 2020s? Looking bleak.
That's such an interesting question. I would say the team closest to winning a championship is the 49ers.
Not even
close. I think they could if they had a different coach.
Yep. That's the story with them. Okay, let's talk baseball. Willie Mays passed away a couple weeks ago. We haven't done a show since then. And that brings up the conversation, who's the greatest baseball player of all time? And Mays is interesting. Most people would say it's him. But baseball's unique in the sense that he was great. He was on a team with McCovey and Cepeda, who just passed away as well. Rest in peace. 3 of the greatest players of all time and Juan Marichal, and they never won a championship in San Francisco. How can you be the best and not win a championship? Meanwhile, Mickey Mantle, same position, won 7 championships with the Yankees, 3 MVPs to Mays, 2, had a higher OP on base plus slugging, walked a lot more than Mays, almost the same batting average. What do you think, Dad?
Okay, it's really a tough one. Let's say as our axiom, Willie Mays is the greatest baseball player who ever lived. let's just start there. And if we can question it, he did probably didn't do anything the best, although he probably was the best center fielder who ever lived. Again, I didn't see all center fielders, but I mean, as far as that, I think he was the best center fielder, not the best hitter, not the best power hitter. What else are you looking
for? Not the best base runner.
But he was a very good base runner, but not the best. But he did all of those things at such a high level that he was probably the greatest baseball player who ever lived. The greatest hitter who ever lived, I think, was Ted Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we looked at his stats recently. He was off the chart. The guy hit 400 one year.
Yeah.
He was a better hitter. I don't think anyone would argue with that. He was a better hitter than Willie. Let's compare Mays and Mantle. Do you think it's significant in their comparison? Mantle won 7 championships. Willie won 1. Do you think it's significant?
In any other sport, it would be. In baseball, it's hard to say. Because there's only, I mean, as a hitter, you only get 4 bats. And as a fielder, you could go the whole game and the ball couldn't come to you.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So it's not like basketball or like being a quarterback.
Still, though, if you're the greatest baseball player of all time, you'd think somehow you'd be able to win more than 1 World Series.
Yeah. And so that's a mark against Willie Mays.
Yes.
Now, Mays and Mantle. Mays was a better base runner, was a better center fielder. They had about the same average. I think their average was 3 points different.
Mays was 301, Mantle was 298, but in terms of on-base percentage, Mantle was 421 and Mays was 384 because Mantle had a ton of walks.
Yes. So here's what I want to say. People generally say Willie was the greatest baseball player who ever lived. And it was certainly bigger news when Willie died than when Mickey died. But you could make a case Mickey was as good. And maybe you could make a case he was better. Now, Willie had many more home runs.
Willie played longer. I mean, Mantle's numbers really fell off after he was like 32. But from 20 to 32, he was really incredible. And he was a switch hitter.
He was. I think toward the end of his career, his knees had given out, and he really couldn't hit anymore. And I think it's well known that he drank a lot. And I think Willie took much better care of his body.
Yeah, I asked my friend Kevin, who's a baseball enthusiast, and he said that you can make the argument that Mantle was the most naturally gifted baseball player of all time. But maybe he didn't get all of his natural gifts the way Willie Mays did.
I mean, he didn't realize them.
Realize, that's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I didn't know Willie. I didn't cover him. I mean, I spoke to him a few times on the phone for interviews. He was very generous giving out his phone number. And one time, you know, he was in the Giants clubhouse and I went and introduced myself and he was moderately friendly. And then he referred to me to the other writers as that bald headed one. And I thought, well, at least Willie Mays is calling me that bald headed one. So I'll take it.
Yeah. Willie knew you. You were the bald headed one.
I was the bald headed one. But one time, Mantle, after he retired, he was pushing a book, you know, an autobiography, and they arranged for me to have lunch with him at the Washington Square Bar and Grill in North Beach when that was the place to go. And I had never met him before. I got to say, he was a blast. He was flirting with the waitresses. He was smiling. He was nice to me. He answered every one of my questions. He was never defensive. I really thought I was taken with Mickey Mantle. I never had that kind of interaction with Willie.
You ever meet Joe DiMaggio?
No. But there's an interesting story about that. There was a writer at the Chronicle called Bob Stevens, and he was their longtime traditional baseball writer. He covered Willie Mays. And since DiMaggio was from the Bay Area, he knew him. When Bob died, the Chronicle Sports Department had a dinner in Bob's honor at some place, I don't remember. Well, we had a long table and we were all there and told stories about Bob. DiMaggio was there, but he didn't sit with us. He sat at the bar and looked at us. And at a certain point, he left, never came over and talked to us. But he did honor Bob Stevens in a way.
Was he eating Dinky Donuts? You don't know what I'm talking about.
No, but here's the thing. I kept looking at him, but I didn't want to stare because it would be uncomfortable. But I was aware that he was sitting at the bar and looking at us, but he didn't come over. Iggy, I can't explain it.
You don't remember that there's a really famous Seinfeld episode where Kramer says that Joe DiMaggio goes to Dinky Donuts. Like, there's no way that he goes to Dinky's. He's in Dinky's, and he's a dunker. He dunks his donuts, and he eats his donuts the way he hits, completely oblivious to everything around. It's a whole bit. Anyway, I'm not going to do it, but
it was good.
Dinky Donuts.
Yeah. Did DiMaggio come for that episode?
No, absolutely not.
Nah.
No, but they did have, who was the first baseman on the Mets in the 80s? That guy was in the show. What was his name? Anyway.
Ed Cranepool?
No. I don't want to talk about Seinfeld anymore. I'm getting upset.
Okay.
Ed Cranepool?
You never heard of him?
Nah. All right, our show. We did it.
I don't got any extra topics.
We there's not that much going on. Brandon Ayuk hasn't said anything recently. He needs to go on a podcast or make a video or a tweet or something. I blame him. Keith Hernandez.
He's from the peninsula, Keith Hernandez.
How about that?
Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Where do you go, to Pally High? Where do you go? Where do you go, to Sarah?
Something like that.
He's one of them schools? Like that. That's good. He was good.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
He could hit. He could play baseball. He was a professional player. All right, Dad. It's been good. One of our, not our best show, but it was definitely one of our shows. And I think that's something.
I want to say it's nice to be back. I'm no longer doing Shakespeare. I'm back here. And when the 49ers actually have something to do, I'll have something to say.
That's right. This is on them. We did the best we could do. We had a whole road trip.
We had a whole, and we did. We did road with various people.
Yeah, but some people couldn't make the cut. Sorry. Maybe next year. Dad, I love you.
I love you, Iggy. I'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Barney Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.